Good morning and welcome to our first chapel service. It's wonderful to have you here and welcome you to keep coming and gathering with us every day for a little 15-minute devotion in God's Word, prayers and hymns, and love to also kind of make this the kind of the social connection to, for everybody on campus too every day to meet and see each other along with your professors and staff. Just a couple of housekeeping things that help us here at chapel. One is, with the hymn book next to you, take that out if you would. Take out the hymn book next to you. And please notice it should be put away with the binding down. So whenever you put those back away, try to remember to put them with the binding down. It preserves the books longer than putting them in the other way. At the end of the service, during the week, please return your bulletins to the back. We'll use them each day. As you see, it follows through the entire week. Then, if you would, take your hymn book, and there are a whole bunch of things before you get to the songs, to the hymns. Turn to page 202, almost before the start of the hymns, page 202. And you'll find, you'll have to turn it sideways. You'll find that there is a long listing of known as the historic lectionary. These are the ancient readings that the early Christians developed in order to make sure that through a year's time they would learn everything that we need to know in our Christian faith. Jesus said to his disciples, "Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you." So the early Christians were very wise. They set up a schedule so that each week, each Sunday, they would focus on something a little different, always ultimately on Christ and what he's done for us. And you can see as you go down the line, today we are in, way down in the second page, Trinity 13 is the week that we are in. So we follow somewhat the order of that historic lectionary. And then as we get toward Christmas, we come to an end in November, go back and start at the top with Advent. So you'll see that our hymns and our readings and the devotions kind of follow this historic order. And it's really a nice way to make sure that we teach, as the Bible says, the whole counsel of God during the year. Let us begin then with singing our first hymn today, hymn number 12, verses 1 through 3, and please stand. Scripture reading for today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and then verse 2. Thus says the Lord, "This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. When I was 4 years old, I went to stay with my grandparents and was sleeping in my grandfather's office. They had a little cot in there for me. My grandfather was a pastor. And one morning when I was sleeping there, very early in the morning as the sun was rising, I looked up and could just see a little bit of light outside, and there was a man's head right outside of the window. And the more I looked at it, it looked like the man's head was actually inside the room. And I started to freak out because it didn't look like my grandpa. And I couldn't make out the face very well. And I started to get really scared. And I got up out of bed, and the man didn't move. And I went over and turned on the light, and it was a bust of Martin Luther. I forgot he had a bust of Martin Luther in his office. Scared me half to death. It's interesting when we put certain people on a shelf with like a statue of them or a bust of them, that we hold them in very high esteem, we think highly of them, we aim to be somewhat like them. You see this in a variety of different places. Scientists might have a bust of Isaac Newton. Musicians might have Bach or Beethoven or Tchaikovsky or someone like that in their office. People in theater might have Shakespeare. In athletics, we see this too. Brett Favre was just inducted into the Hall of Fame this summer, and he said, "It's weird to see your head on a bronze bust on a pedestal." And if you go to the Football Hall of Fame, there are almost 300 of those heads on pedestals all around. As a way of showing, this is what we should aspire to if you want to be a really good athlete. Think about the Olympics recently. We take the best Olympians, the ones that win, and we put them high on steps above everybody else to be looked at and admired, to be recognized for their great athletic achievements, first, second, and third place, staggered according to how high we should consider them. So we have a tendency to do this with individuals who excel at things very well. We put them on pedestals. We hold them in high esteem. We think of them highly. And that can be a very good and healthy thing if it's done right. Not to ever worship the person or idolize them to such an extent, but if they are used as a symbol to us to idolize, trying to reach better goals and to strive to improve ourselves, that's fantastic. That's a good way that they can be put in front of us on a pedestal to be thought of highly and esteemed. And your professors, and I would say the entire campus here is designed to help you in a variety of different things in your life to try to attain and achieve higher goals for yourself, to improve your knowledge, to improve a particular skill that you have or a talent that you've been blessed with. Maybe improve your physical capabilities and strength. There are many different ways that this campus and what happens here is designed to kind of help you reach to a higher pedestal, to be put on a higher pedestal, not to be worshipped, but a higher pedestal for your own life to improve and so on. And all the other buildings and classrooms on this campus are really designed to help that happen for you with your education. The sanctuary, the word sanctuary means something set apart. This building is set apart for a special sacred use. It's set apart from all the other buildings so that you can come in here and be put on a pedestal for God. Now let me explain what that means. God tells us that he puts those on a pedestal who have very strange requirements. Look at what he says to us again in the book of Isaiah. "This is the one I esteem." That means this is the person I hold highly. "He who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word." This is the one I think of highly. When a person is humble about themselves, not just before other people, but especially before God. Contrite. That means you're well aware of your sins. You're well aware of all the guilt that you have. And the only way you could ever stand in the presence of a holy God someday and be led into heaven is because of what he did for you through his Son. And he has done that for you. by having his son come into the world and shed his holy blood to pay for all of your sins. So when you are contrite and recognize your guilt and the evil that's inside of all of us and confess that to God and stand before him only on the basis of his mercy and his compassion toward us in Christ, knowing that we're forgiven in him, that's what God is talking about. And then he says, the one who trembles at his word. The person who trembles at his word. That doesn't mean we're afraid of God, but that we realize what a tremendous thing it is to be in his presence. We realize what awe we should have to be in the presence of this gracious and holy God. So this is what God says, how God says he puts people on a pedestal. He who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. Jesus said it this way, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So this room is designed for you. All the other things on campus are primarily focused on helping you achieve and get up to a higher pedestal in your life. This room is designed around helping you get on a pedestal before God. And you do that through humble contrition of your sins, acknowledging his grace and what Christ has done for you, looking forward to heaven only because of his compassion for you, and trembling at the awe of hearing his word. So Bethany has been designed with this, if you will, two pedestal approach. The most important thing to us is to help you be placed on the pedestal that God wants through faith in his son. That bust of Dr. Martin Luther that was in my dad's office that freaked me out when I was 4 years old. As I got older, I began to read some of Dr. Luther's writings. And he had an illustration that I'm going to close with today that I thought says this so well, what our text is talking about. He said, imagine this. When you sin against God, it's as if you have sinned against a monster who has a spear in his hand, and he's going to hunt you down. And so our natural tendency is to think I need to turn and run away from God as fast as I can to get away from him. Put distance between myself and God. I don't want to deal with him because I know I'm guilty. Luther said, but the problem is if you do that, God is bigger and faster than you. He's going to hunt you down. He's going to pull back his spear to throw it at you harder than ever. And he will finally run it through you at some point in your life. So he said, instead, what God invites you to do is turn around and run at him and drop to your knees and acknowledge your sin and ask his forgiveness. And then he drops the spear. And then he comes and kneels next to you with his grace and forgiveness and embraces you as his child. That's what this building is all about. Amen. Please rise. And let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for giving us your holy word by which you teach us about ourselves, about life, and most importantly about you and your wonderful love and grace toward us. We ask your blessing upon all of our worship in this chapel this year, and that you would bless all of us to be strengthened in our faith and knowledge of your Son, our Savior. We pray it all in his name. Amen.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.